Well, good morning and welcome to worship here at Greystone Baptist Church. It is my joy and privilege to welcome you this morning. My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as the minister to students, and we are, as always, glad that you are here with us on this special day, special for a variety of reasons. You know, as you read through the book of Deuteronomy, I don't know how many of you have been page-turning through Deuteronomy in recent days. No judgment either way. But one of the things I find interesting about Deuteronomy, as you know, this kind of final address to the Israelites by Moses before they cross over the Jordan River and into the Promised Land, is that there's these constant reminders to continue telling the story, to continue telling the story of God's love, to continue telling the story of God's faithfulness, to continue telling the story of how God led the Israelites out of Egypt in their exodus through the wilderness to be ready to enter into the Promised Land. And one of the things that's reminded of the Israelites is that they need to continue telling their children and their children's children and so on and so forth. And that's a great reminder today on this Senior Adult Sunday as we celebrate all the older adults in our church who tell the story to their children, to their children's children, to your children, to people all over our church, the stories of God's love, the stories of God's faithfulness, the ways that God has been faithful even to this community of faith, to Greystone Baptist Church. And we are glad to celebrate this Senior Adult Sunday with them this morning. You'll notice many of them helping to lead and worship this morning. What a special touch we have on this day. Another special thing that we are celebrating today, it is the first Sunday that our new pastor in the interim, Dr. Barry Howard, is with us. Dr. Howard is retired from First Baptist Church of Pensacola, Florida, where he served for about 12 years. He's also served in churches in Alabama and Kentucky, and we welcome him and his wide and vast experience and expertise with us through this transition season. Well, as always, we are glad that you are here. The presence of all in this place enhances the worship of all in this space. And so let us continue in worship.
From Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
May we go to God in prayer. Lord, we come before you humbly on this day in which we honor our senior adults. We come to you with hearts of thanksgiving for our church and church family and for all of those seniors who have paved the way for us to establish this Greystone community of believers in North Raleigh. For those who have gone on to glory and to those who are still in our midst, we give thanks. Lord, we thank you for the loving kindness that you pour out upon us daily in numerous blessings, large and small. Even though our eyes are not as sharp as they once were, our hearing not as keen as it once was, and our steps a little slower than they were many years ago, we give you thanks for the gift of life and the gift of being able to sharing our lives and our spiritual journey with our fellow believers here at Greystone Baptist Church. For we know that we have all been led here, not by our own accord, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we enter into the services on this beautiful day, we ask that you be with us and be with every spoken word and every note played and sung during this special day. We thank you for your guidance as we follow your will during our time of interim, and we thank you for bringing Dr. Howard to our church family. Now we pray as we go forth as a community of faith that we live constantly by these words, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, we invoke your blessings upon our service. May it be to your glory. Amen.
That Dr. Howard's bringing, we're going to hear a lot about love. So we're going to talk a little bit about love this morning. Does anybody know what this is? You don't know? What do you think? Shaving cream. You haven't seen that, Everett? You thought it would be shaving cream? Oh, I didn't turn it around to see the front. There you go. What is this, guys? Sam? It is a razor. I'm going to keep the little plastic cover on it so it's because it's very, very sharp underneath, right? You guys ever see anybody use a razor and shaving cream?
My dad does.
Your daddy does? You have. Well, here's what shaving cream does that's a little like love this morning. I know that's kind of a strange analogy, but here's what we're going to talk about. First of all, if I used this really, really sharp razor, if I took this cap off and ran it across my skin like that, how would that feel? That's exactly right. But what if I put a little of this on my skin first? And then ran the razor across. That would That would smooth it out, wouldn't it? It would make it feel better. And love's a little that way, right? When we're covered with love, with our friends and our family and God's love and our church family, it smooths things out for us a little bit. The bad times aren't quite as bad, and the good times are even better, right? I'll show you in just a minute. Now, here's another thing. If I left the shaving cream in the can, is it going to do us any good? So if you tell people that you have love in your heart, but you don't show them, if your parents never told you they loved you or didn't take care of you and do things that showed you that they loved you, that wouldn't feel much like love, would it? So we have to make sure we let the love in us out for it to make any difference in the world and make people feel the love that God wants us to show, right? Here's another cool thing about shaving cream. Watch what happens. Right? It gets bigger, right? Yeah, when you get it out of the can and spread it around, it expands, it grows, just like the love that we have for each other, the love God has for us. The more we show that love, the more we share that love, the more contagious that love becomes, where other people feel more love, we feel more love from other people. So remember that the love that God has for you, God wants us to share that love with everybody else. Okay, will you say a quick prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the love that you have for each and every one of us. We pray that you will help us to have your love for everyone around us and to share your love with our family and friends and those we meet. In your name we pray. Amen.
have been thinking about the meaning of church a lot during this transition time. The study that we have been doing in our adult Sunday school classes of the book of Ephesians have fueled these thoughts. Eugene Peterson, who's the author of that study of Ephesians, gave this definition of church. Church, at its simplest and most obvious, is a protected place, an available time to have a conversation with God and for God to have a conversation with us in the company of his people. I like that definition. Peterson has many more observations about church, as we all know, but I would like to focus today on the fellowship aspect. Church as a gathering of people and a gathering of God's people. Many of us enjoy the fellowship of God's people in our Sunday school classes. I'm a member of the Women's Fellowship class. We study the Bible, we pray together, we share our joys and our concerns. Our weekly prayer list goes out and helps us stay connected. Our monthly luncheons are times of fun and fellowship that bond us. We send cards and we take food and we call in times of need. We have become family. Many of you are in Sunday school classes like that. There are many other groups throughout the church where fellowship develops. I thought immediately of the ministry team, the ministry teams in the church, Buddy Break. Those people have a bond as they gather and minister to children. The mission trips, they're very close for a short time and they bond. Music groups that have their bonding. Think of youth groups and trips and children's ministries. The spring carnival that we had this past week was a time of bonding among the workers there. All of these are opportunities in a small group setting for us to support and encourage each other. Fellowship continues during transition times. The work of the church continues during transition times. And I'm especially thankful this morning for the fellowship that we have here at Greystone Church.
Thank you, Linda, for outlining some of those awesome opportunities in our church. I'm Lou Ostendorf, and I'm here on behalf of the Stewardship Committee. And I've also been told that I'm a senior adult. Well, this is a day to honor our senior adults. Would all of you who consider yourselves senior adults please stand up? Thank you. You know, senior adults have that unique perspective of a long life and lots of experience that they can impart to some of us who are a little younger. Well, a few years ago, I started getting invitations to senior adult luncheons, and then I started getting mail from AARP, and I was trying to figure out, is somebody trying to tell me something? Well, it just so happened that a prominent member of this church was minister to the senior adults, and I figured, what better authority to go to than the most reverend Skip Pike? So I asked Skip, I said, Skip, explain to me, what is the meaning of being a senior adult? And he said, Lou, that's a difficult question, and it's going to require a little bit of time. Several years passed. I asked Skip again, Skip, have you been able to define the meaning of senior adult? Lou, that is a complex question, which has demanded all my mental faculties, and I have not yet begun to come to a satisfactory definition. Well, Friday night at the Arch McFadden banquet, just this past Friday night, I said, Skip, have you arrived at the definition of a senior adult? And he said, Lou, I've been thinking about this for a long time, as you know, and the best I can come up with is, it is a state of mind that is heavily influenced by the status of the human condition. So there you go. There is the official definition of senior adult. A church is a lot like that. A healthy church has a strong spiritual state of mind. And it also has a strong body and physical presence. And I want y'all to think about that for just a minute. A church requires not only our spiritual efforts, but it also requires our individual talents and our stewardship efforts. We've come to a situation in our financial being, well-being, where we've had to dip into some of our cash reserves to cover the last few months. And it could be one of several factors that's causing that situation. But what I want you to do, and what I'm prayerfully asking you to do, is just to consider your level of giving and ensure that your pledges are up to date and that your level of giving is commensurate with your talents and your abilities. And remember, above all, the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you.
Will you join me in prayer? O Lord, our God, your wisdom is beyond our understanding. You are the source of all goodness, yet we chase after things of this world that do not satisfy. We spend our money foolishly and wonder why we still hunger in spirit. Thank you for patiently calling us to trust you with our whole heart. Refresh us by your Holy Spirit so that we may lead others to you. We give these offerings in the name of Jesus Christ, who was able to take an offering of loaves and fish and multiply them so that everyone had more than their fill. Amen.
Thank you. And as we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table, as we prepare ourselves heart, mind, and soul, hear this reading from 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. A reading from Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting the meeting of ourselves together, as some do, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. And may the Lord enrich our understanding of these scriptures. Thanks be to God. Good morning. I resonate with the words of Mark Twain, who said, there's a good side and a bad side to most people. And in accordance with your own character and disposition, you will bring out one of them, and the other will remain for you a sealed book. I can't think of any better way to flesh out these two scriptures and prepare to come to this table than to talk about the importance of bringing out the best in each other. But first, let me quickly say I am glad and honored to be here. The kingdom potential, the aura of hospitality in this place is both remarkable and probably beyond our comprehension, but a key to being the people of God in this community has to do with bringing out the best in others, particularly those who are like us and those who are not necessarily like us. I would confess that across my journey of 40 years, my first weekend, different places, has always had a few serendipitous surprises. None quite as remarkable as the first weekend Amanda and I landed in southeastern Kentucky. We had just celebrated our 10th anniversary. We're called to a church in Appalachia. We're leaving home. We're moving away from my wife's parents. We lived 8 miles from them. They were a very integral part of our family. And we arrived in southeastern Kentucky, and we were welcomed by 22 inches of snow our first weekend. They called on Saturday to say, we will have service, we're televised, but there won't be many there. You'll preach to a congregation of about 12 to 15. Feel free to wear your boots. We'll pick you up in a four-wheel drive. So not having anything else to do, we walked to a neighboring Cracker Barrel. And the young lady who came to our table looked as though she had been crying. Her arms were tattered with tattoos, which was very unusual in Appalachia in the mid-1990s. And we tried to learn her name. We saw the name tag said Danielle, and we said, we're new in town, what should we order, as though Cracker Barrels are not all the same. And she said, I recommend the old-timers breakfast, and what are you here for? And I said, well, I'm the new pastor at First Baptist Church. And she teared up again, and she said, that was my church. My mom was one of the first deacons there. And I said, well, I look forward to meeting your mom. And she said, you can't. She died 3 years ago after a bout with breast cancer. And I said, well, I hope to see you on Sunday. And she said, I don't go there anymore. And I said, what's wrong? She said, when I was 15, I became pregnant. And it was sort of a shame to my parents and grandparents, and her family had quite a legacy. They lived next door to Claudia Sanders, the widow of Colonel Sanders, who was quite a genteel lady. And herself, Danielle's grandmother, was the first female principal in all of a four-county area, and then her mom, the first deacon at First Baptist Church, to be of the female persuasion. And so Danielle didn't go anymore, and I said, well, I hope you'll come back. And she said, I'm not sure I can. She said, I feel like an outcast, and God has disowned me. And I don't know, my wife has a way of loving on people. She learned her name. She asked about her son's name. And we got to know Danielle in hopes that she would come back. And Danielle needed to hear scriptures just like these. God is love. And those who do not know God do not have love. But those who love are those who know God. She needed to hear scriptures like stimulate or prompt or stir up one another for love and good deeds and encourage one another even more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. I started out in ministry very young. I was called as a 16-year-old out on Route 6 and put in the pulpit 2 weeks later. I preached in 49 churches before I finished high school because that's the way you did it out in the country. I was licensed at age 17, ordained at age 18, went on a church staff as an associate pastor at age 19, even as I worked my way through college and seminary. And when my church ordained me, they said, preach the gospel in season and out of season. My pastor, whom I still dearly respect, said to me, always trust the Lord, tell the truth, and love the people. But even more important than that, I was introduced to the writings of Eugene Peterson, the author of one of your recent studies here, who told me a pastor is not a CEO, you're not an administrator, you're a director. You're a soul friend who walks alongside people with the privilege of pointing out what you see God doing in their life. What I see God doing in people's lives is bringing out the best in other people, and the Holy Spirit is alive and well and at work in the world and in this congregation and wants to use ordinary people just like you and me to bring out the best in each other. By the way, I'm glad to be here, particularly on this first Sunday on Senior Adult Day. I love senior adults. I hope to be one someday. I actually have had my AARP card for 3 years now. I get the free coffee. I get 20% off at the golf course. I'm eager for you to meet my wife, Amanda. She's the bright spot in our family, talented musician, educator, a golfer, USTA tennis player. She'll be here in 2 to 3 weeks. Hopefully we make a good couple, but we were at the golf course the other day. We've been somewhat of an athletic family when we got married in 1985. The first thing we had to do is decide what to do with all of our athletic trophies, because we had boxes of them. Together, as a newlywed couple, we had 29 athletic trophies. She had 28 and I had one. And mine was from sixth grade RA basketball. But I felt a little pull toward senior adulthood when we were at the golf course recently and she had to make a little stop in the clubhouse. I went onto the tee box and the marshal, having seen her and seen me, said, sir, do you want to go ahead and tee off or do you want to wait on your daughter to get here? And so I'm not sure that brought out the best in me. How do we bring out the best in each other? Let me encourage us as we prepare for the table to do a few things. First of all, pray for each other. Paul was so good about reminding the church of the importance of prayer. Philippians 1:3 says, I thank my God on every remembrance of you, and in all my prayers for you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Pray for each other. But in the day in which we live and in the season in which we find ourselves, prayer is even more important. And it's more important that we pray for each other. Remember the encounter Jesus had with Simon Peter, where he looked at Simon Peter and said, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that you will be strong. And if Jesus himself were here this morning, he would look at each and every church, including Greystone, and say to us, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that you will be strong. And following the pattern of Jesus, we bring out the best in each other when we pray for each other. Second, we believe the best about each other. Don't believe rumors or suspicions. Expect the best from others. Every human being, me, you, and everyone else, has a little of the best and a little of the worst in us. And by the way we treat others, we elicit one response or the other. Sometimes the greatest fiction we ever read is when we read between the lines and we operate out of conjecture and innuendo, which is all in vogue in our country at this point. But it's imperative that the people of God not only pray for each other, but we believe the best about each other. And my friend Danielle certainly needed someone to believe the best about her. Third, be patient with progress. Be patient with the progress that God is making inside of you. Be patient with the progress God is making inside of others. As a 40-year veteran pastor, I can tell you some of the most contentious moments come from our impatience with the progress God is making in someone else, which is usually a projection of our dissatisfaction with the progress God is making in his eternal and internal work in us. Be patient with progress. Not everyone grows at the same rate of speed. God doesn't grow us according to a spiritual stopwatch. And I've been blessed to encounter all kind of people, even like Danielle, who were late bloomers and coming to a full commitment of their faith. Pray for each other. Encourage one another. Believe the best about each other. Be patient with progress and appreciate the uniqueness of others. 1 Peter 2:17 says, show respect for all persons. You are unique. The psalmist said you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And because you are unique, your uniqueness is a gift from God. Individually, you are unique. Collectively, we are unique. And we do a disservice to God as individuals anytime we allow anyone else to extinguish our uniqueness. And as congregations, we do a disservice to God anytime we imitate the church down the road and forfeit our own uniqueness. The kingdom is advanced by maximizing the gifts and kingdom resources God has planted here. And that's a part of bringing out the best in each other. And finally, never give up on anyone. I'm so glad that no one gave up on Danielle. She thought they had. You can imagine my astonishment when we went back to Cracker Barrel 3 weeks later. Danielle was our server again. She was even more distraught, and she pulled up a chair. I was afraid she was going to lose her job, and she told us that she was great with child again. And then she confessed, I'm not sure who the dad is. That's not the words that any father or pastor wants to hear. And those are words that can often cause wimpy church members to run. But my wife, being who she is and overflowing with grace, she said, you're going to come to church week after next and sit with me if I have to come get you. And Danielle said, I'm not sure I can. The people there know me. They know my story. And I'll probably be showing. And my wife said, that's all right. I dare them to say anything. Well, Danielle started to church and to Bible study. And it was the senior ladies who gave her a baby shower, not for one, but for both of the children. Imagine that. And then we learned that Danielle's mom, who was the first deacon in the church, that was now on the other side in heaven, had also been the one to give the children's story. 6 months in, we asked Danielle to read the scripture for the children's story in honor of her mom on the anniversary of her mom's death. What I'd love to tell you is all was hunky-dory. Danielle loved the Lord. All's went well. She's lived a fairy tale life. About 3 weeks after she read the children's story, her name came out in the paper, and she was arrested because she had a boyfriend, and he had robbed Walmart over 3 or 4 days, and according to the police report, taken $70,000 worth of jewelry. One of my deacons said it took 3 tractor trailers to get $70,000 worth of jewelry from Walmart. So I went to see Danielle in the jail because she was arrested for possession of stolen merchandise, and her kids were taken and put in foster care. The baby had arrived by that time, a few months later, and she was sentenced to a year in prison, served 6 months. When she got on parole, I told her if she would stay clean and out of trouble for 6 months, I would go with her to court and help her get her kids back. The district attorney made a persuasive argument to the judge. She got her kids back. She lived again faithfully in the church for 2 more years. And then she was present in a meth house near middle school, not in possession, but present. She was sentenced to 12 years. She was sent off to prison, and I got a letter 2 weeks after she arrived there that simply said, "You told me once at Cracker Barrel that God gives second chances. Do you believe that God gives third chances?" And I wrote back the letter, I still have a copy of it, and said, "Danielle, God gives 7 times 70 chances. And we can't erase what you've done, but we'll be here for you when you get out." The story could go on and on. She spent 7 years, she was out on parole again, she entered a rehab program. Once again, she got her kids back. We moved back to the state of Florida. Our friends Danny and Marcia and so many in the Sunday school class encouraged her. They gave her a job, helped her start college. Her oldest son is now serving our country through the United States military and just got married. She's expecting her first grandbaby. Her youngest daughter, Destiny, who was the baby she had just conceived when she made her confession at Walmart, just graduated high school. And this week, they sent me a newspaper article from the newspaper in southeastern Kentucky featuring Danielle Stansberry Matlock detailing the story I've just told you. And they read part of the story when she received her master's in social work degree from Eastern Kentucky University. I haven't even begun to list the hurdles of redemption we had to cross. But I was so glad to serve in a church and community that believed that God is love and those who know God love unconditionally. I was glad to serve in a community of faith where people focused on bringing out the best in each other. And what I've become aware of is every community has a few dozen Daniels and Danielles waiting on somebody to love them in Jesus' name. Mine has not comprehended what God can do through the giftedness and grace of this place if we direct our lives of following Jesus on bringing out the best in each other. And that's why we're privileged to come to such a table. So may God give you grace to never sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. May the grace of God abound as we commit our lives to bringing out the best in each other. Thanks be to God. Amen. One gentleman stopped me on the street and said, "Pastor, I just want to know something. Do you believe that those little pieces of bread literally turn into the body of Christ?" And I said to him, without belittling the tradition from which I knew he came, "What I believe is each time we take the bread and the cup, we are reminded that we are the body of Christ in the world today, to be his hands and his feet, to be his mouthpiece, be his personal touch and his gracious approach. Today, we invite you, regardless of the tradition from which you came, to to receive the elements of this table in celebration of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us prepare. When Jesus gathered in the upper room with his disciples, he took the bread and, having broke it, said, "Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." cup that we hold represents the shed blood of Christ, given for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus said, "Take, do this in remembrance of me." And now, in celebration of the life of Christ, may the peace of Christ be with you. May we stand and share the peace of Christ, blessing one another. Peace of Christ be with you.
If you are in need of extra time to make it down to the fellowship hall for the banquet that will follow, this is a good time to slip out. Feel free to do that. But as we stay in an attitude of prayer, may we make our commitment as we sing this beautiful hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," 6:30. Let's sing together.
Could take a moment just to be seated. We will hear from the pastor search team in just a moment. I just want to remind you that it is time for you to put in your deacon nominations. You see that paperwork in your bulletin, and I hope that you will prayerfully consider your nominations for deacons. So please do that. Also, please note that on Wednesday night, we will gather in this space, and we will have a church in conference. It's not a special one, it's a regular one. And so you come on Wednesday night and be here for the business of the church. Also, you'll note if you're a committee leader or a team leader, there is a leadership council meeting on May 20th. I hope you'll take note of that and plan to be a part. Also, as you are here today, we're delighted that you're here. There may be some of you who are guests with us this morning, and we are delighted that you have shared this morning and this worship service with us. If you're a guest with us, Dr. Howard will be out in the hallway and in the gathering room across from the sanctuary. He would love to meet you if you're a guest, and I hope that you'll take a moment before you leave to stop by, introduce yourself, get to know a little bit more about Greystone, although I'm not sure he's the best one to tell you about Greystone, but there'll be some other people around too. Annie Hardison Moody is the chair of our pastor search committee. Annie, could you come?
Thank you. So I will be brief, but I just want to remind everyone that this afternoon we have our third and final conversation about the future of Greystone and who we are being called to be, and the directions that we are being called to live into, and how we might discern what kind of leader God is calling for this place. So we really hope that you'll be there. We start at 4 o'clock, and so please come a little bit early if you can to get your name tag and get settled. And we will have childcare for birth to grade 5. Also, we'll be publishing this week. We've just rounded up our first 100 days of being in this search process, and so we're putting out a report that will be on the website, and we'll also have copies available at church and conference on Wednesday. So thank you again for your prayers and your support of this process.
Let's stand as we go out singing. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. Let's sing aloud.
God send us from this place to grow in faith and friendship, to serve with our best gifts, to overflow with encouragement, and to dispense God's radical grace wherever we go. Go in peace. Amen.